Welcome to church. Back to church Sunday. Sounds a little strange since we meet here each and every Lord's Day and have forever and will until God calls all things to their proper end. But I say to you, welcome to church today, because all across our nation, we are emphasizing the fact that if you haven't been involved in God's church, then it's time for you to reconnect. If you've never been involved in God's church, then this could be the very day, this could be the very hour, this could be the very moment when you connect with the God who loves you. All you need is love. That song that we played a little recording of just as I walked up the steps is one that I remember from growing up. But it has become the basic thought of most people in the world concerning what love is. I think on this Back to Church Sunday, it would do us well to remind ourselves that since love is such a hot commodity, since love is so often spoken of, since love is the basic theme of just about every song that we ever remember, what is it really all about? The Word of God, I believe, gives us an accurate picture of love. It's in a little book tucked away almost toward the end of the New Testament, the end of the Bible. It's in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7, 8, and 9. I want to share these words with you. They come from the New American Standard Translation of God's Word. And there, the passage reads like this. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. Maybe you've heard those words before. Then again, it could well be that you've never even looked at that page of God's Word. These words are words that you've never heard before. For many of us, or at least for me, as I was growing up, because I was one that grew up in a family that attended church regularly, church has always been a part of my life. The very first words from the Bible that I ever remember recalling or being challenged to memorize when I was about this tall, they were found in those verses we just read. Maybe you remember them as well. God is love. Say it with me. God is love. Say it with me again. God is love. No greater words could have ever been written. No greater words could we ever speak about God. But yet, it seems that we have such a mixed message concerning this word love. It really begins with the fact that in many people's minds, God is love can be turned around and said, love is God. Is that true? I ask you a question. God is love. Does it equal love is God? Many people think that switching the words God and love around in that sentence doesn't change the meaning of it at all. But I would beg to differ, because I think there is a huge difference. That's why the Bible says God is love. And it doesn't say love is God. What's the difference? Why is it such a big deal? How can it matter in your life and in mine? Well, let me just take you through a few steps this morning. It won't take too long to do that, but I hope that in this explanation, and as we have already been brought before the presence of God, because I believe His presence is here with us, His Spirit is here among us, if we can walk away from here with a better understanding, with the correct understanding of those three little words, God is love, it can make all the difference in the world in your life and in mine. First of all, to say God is love equals love is God is just plain bad grammar. Now, I know this puts many of you to sleep, but grammar is a big deal. Grammar is important. There is not a single one of us that speak English using correct grammar all the time. I find myself, as hard as I try, messing up from time to time. There's just a few things about language and about grammar that I want to remind you of. This right here in my hand, you may think, is a light bulb, but it's not. It's a light bub. You need to remember that. This is a bub. I don't care how you spell it. It's got to be pronounced correctly. So when this goes out, you change out the light bub. Okay. Say that with me. Light bub. Okay. You're already on the right path to good grammar and good English. Now, when you take your car to the service station and ask them to change the OIL, many of you say oil. It's not. It's oil. Oil. So say that with me. Change the oil in your car. Okay. See, it's already so easy. You're already doing it. Now, if I am talking about going not over there, what you do say is you say, I'm going over there. Okay. Did you hear it? Over there. That's the correct way. It's not over there. It's over there. So where are you going? Say it with me. Over there. Okay. That's not an Arkansas thing where I'm from. That's just great English usage. Okay. You don't agree with me. You can be wrong. That's fine. But to say God is love equals love is God is plain bad grammar. What do I mean? Well, in the language of the Scripture, which is the Greek language, not our language, there are some very important rules. You could say God is love equals love is God if the sentence there that I read in the original language had the definite article before God and before love. You know what a definite article is? It's T-H-E, the. The indefinite article is a or an. But in the Greek language, whichever one of the words in the sentence had the definite article the means that it is the subject and nothing else can be the subject. Guess what? The original language doesn't say the God is the love. We wouldn't translate it that way, but that would allow us to flip-flop the words. That would allow the God and the love to be equal and interchangeable, but it's not. The only word in that little sentence that has the definite article is related to the word God. So it cannot grammatically be switched. That's very important. The writer of Scripture got it right when he said emphatically, God with the definite article, the, to make sure that the position of that word in the sentence is indisputable, that it is the subject. So God is love does not equal love is God. And why? Very important reasons here. You see, love is a concept. Love is a word that has become abstract to many people. In other words, it is an ideal. It is a goal that you strive for. For many people, to say love is God means that God is the object of our love. And nothing could be further from the truth, because in reality, it's we are the object of God's love. See? You and me. It's not that God is the object of our love. That would make us start viewing God as some otherworldly being, as some impersonal force, as some cosmic thing behind everything in the universe. Because you see, love is a concept. The Greek language has three words that we translate love. Many of you know that. The word erotic in English language comes from the word eros, which means physical love, attraction. The city in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, is named for the Greek word for brotherly love, comradeship. Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. And then the Greek language has that word agape that many of us are familiar with because it's become so part of our own language. We've taken a Greek word and transliterated it into our own language. Agape is that supreme love. But you see, the Greek language, it categorizes love, and you can't do that with God. That's why love is not God. So what is love? You see, love is not a concept. Love describes God. Love is an attribute of the God who created us. And if you think with me, that is so radically different from all you need is love. All you need is love. No. To state that, to think that love is something you're going to grab out of the air or you're going to all of a sudden earn because you've done so well in life, that's the abstract concept of love. Whereas the Bible says, God is best described as love. You see, you go back in the way the Old Testament people looked at things. They remembered those Ten Commandments. Many of us have forgotten them. But just in case, that second commandment tells us that we're not to build any graven images of God. There are to be no idols of our God. We can't see God. We can't put Him up on our shelf at home and touch Him and touch that image. Many of us have strayed from that, even with the beautiful symbols that we find of Christ and the cross and the manger. And we are never to let those objects that describe God become idols. So what did the Old Testament man or woman do when they thought of God? Since they couldn't see Him, since they couldn't build an image in His likeness, since that was forbidden, the best way they knew how to describe God was by what He did, was by how He treated them, was by what he showed them. That showed them what God was like. So they began to see that God was at work in their lives. They begin to see that though they couldn't draw a picture of God, though they couldn't have an image of God that they could bow down to, they begin to talk in terms of, this is what God has done for me. This is what God has done for our nation. This is what God has done for my family. And those things are best described as God has been moving in our midst as acts of love. Isn't that amazing? God is love. Let me remind you of some things that make common sense or appear to be common sense to many of us, but they defy logic in the way we live our lives. But they are so important to remember about God's love. And on a back to church kind of Sunday, how can we miss these things? God loves you and me unconditionally. You need to remember that. God loves us, and that love is unconditional. If you feel like you have to earn God's love, if you feel like there's some checklist you've got to go through, and if you reach step one, then you're there, and you go to step two, and finally, at what step ever it is that you've got enumerated in your mind, then you will finally earn God's love, then you need to get it straight. God's love is not given to us with all these conditions on it. It's as though God looks at us and lifts us out of whatever circumstance we're in and says, I love you now. I love you where you are in life. Now, God's love is going to challenge us that we don't have to stay where we are. We don't have to always be in the place where we are, especially if that is a sinful place or if it's an uncomfortable place or if it's a place where we are because we've made a poor choice. But that doesn't change the fact that God's love given to us is unconditional. So however you were brought up, if you had to earn that love at home, then remember, that's not the way it's supposed to be. God is love, and His love extended to you and to me is given unconditionally. There's something else we need to remember about love, and that is that God loves us, and because He loves us, when we step aside from the path He would have us to go, He's going to discipline us. He's going to correct us. He's going to punish us. You see, nothing could be further from the idea of love being a concept. You know, all you need is love? No. God is love, because love is an attribute of God. Love describes God. And that love given to us is unconditional. And that love also is tough at times. There's a passage over in the Old Testament. It's just one that I want you to listen to. It's the 89th Psalm. And right in the middle of that long psalm, there are some verses that I have underlined in this Bible. And they say this. God speaking and says, if my sons forsake the law, if they do not walk in my judgments, if they violate my statutes, then I will visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. But I will not break off my loving kindness from them, nor will I deal falsely in my faithfulness. Did you hear that? When we stray away from the path that God would have us to go, does He cut us out? Does He say, you're no longer a child of mine? Does He say, you're out? Does He say, you're condemned? No. He loves us. And His actions of love means that when we stray from the path He would have us to go, He will discipline us, but He will never break off His loving kindness from us. You see, God's love is not just abstract. It's not just a concept. God is best described by the loving acts that He gives to us, by His actions toward us, by His response to us. Even when we reject Him, He loves us. God's love, it's such that when we stray, He punishes us. God's love is also greater than any circumstance you and I would go through. Hear me there. God's love reaches beyond any circumstance. If you have ever gone through an issue of life where you felt isolated and alone, it's because you forgot that God's love reaches beyond any circumstance that you and I can go through. There's a wonderful passage, two little verses in the New Testament. It's in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. What do they say? I'm glad you asked. They say this: there is therefore nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing, Paul says. Nothing can separate us. He goes to all extremes to tell us what those possibilities might be in our mind. No principalities, no powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate you and me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why? Because it's not love is God. It's God loves me. And His love reaches beyond any circumstance that I go through in my life. Well, you say, okay, Stephen, I understand that. I know, but you see, God is way out there, way up there, and I'm down here. And I just can't love God. And I just can't love as God would have me to love. That's what most of us say. We look at His sacrifice. We look at how much He loves. We look at the fact that He extends to us His love unconditionally. And we just mark those things off the list and say, well, I can't love unconditionally. And I can't look beyond my circumstance because it's real and it's ever before me. And you have to understand that. And it hurts and it's painful. And you might just be saying, like many of us do, I can't love in my own strength. And you know what? You're exactly right. You can't. None of us can love as God would have us to love in our own strength. But the key is, we can love as God's power and God's love works through us. We can love with God's love. There was a certain teenager who was so put out with his parents. And he got to the age where he could walk away and do his own thing. He went to a counselor. He told that counselor, he said, I just hate my mom and dad. I hate my home life. They have mistreated me. And he went through a whole litany, a whole list of things where he had been wrong. And the counselor said, you know, you're right. Said, you want to get back at your parents? He said, yes, I do. You want to show them who's boss? He said, yes, I do. And the counselor said, then this is what I want you to do. Here's the ultimate way to separate yourself from your parents and to go off and live your own life. For the next 60 days, for the next 2 months, I want you to go home and I want you to love your parents. I want you to be kind to them. I want you to speak the words, mom and dad, I love you. I want you to do the chores that you felt were always unfair for you to do. And do those. Do those to spite them. Do those things that, just do those things for 60 days. And then on the 61st day, here's what you do. You walk in and you let them have it. You say, Mom and Dad, I'm walking out of here. I'm separating myself from you. I'm sick and tired of being treated the way I've been treated all of my life. And this is it. And then walk away. He said, you know, that's what I'm going to do. That's exactly what he did. But on the 61st day, the counselor called and said, did you give him the news? And he said, what news? She said, did you not tell him where to go? Did you not tell him that you were going to leave? He goes, you know, I forgot all about that. He said, when I started telling my parents I loved them, when I started doing acts of kindness, when I did those chores, something happened to me. And we know what that something was. Because you see, my friends, love is not a concept. It's not love is God. It's God is love. And we begin to find that when we're in a relationship, be it family, marriage, mom, dad, boy, whatever it might be, that when we love and when we are committed to the works of love and the deeds of love, then what happens? Changes us. Because you see, we can't do it on our own. But we can love with God's love. And many times, that's nothing more and nothing less than a concrete action and a commitment to say, I am going to love. I'm going to choose to do the acts of love that in reality, God has shown to me all through my life. You see, God is love. And He loves you. Some of you send your kids to camp. I'm talking about a specific camp. It's out here in East Texas. A man named Phil Hook was the founder of Pine Cove. He wrote a little book some years ago entitled Rhythms of the Heart. And here's a man who, he's gone to heaven now, but all through the years of providing a camp experience for kids in the piney woods of East Texas, and helping them come to Christ and learn what love is really all about. In this little book called Rhythms of the Heart, he talked about a time when he and his mother were on the outs. He said, I was just plain mean. He said, I was ugly. He said, I did what any normal teenager would do in that situation. I just resorted to silence. I wouldn't talk. I wouldn't speak to my mother. I'd just go to school when I got home. I would find something else to do and leave. When I finally got home late at night, I would go upstairs and read books. And every night, my mother would ask me if I wanted a sandwich. And I would grunt yes, because I was hungry. She made me a bacon and egg sandwich every night. He wrote years later that when he and his mother had long since reconciled, that she said to him, son, you know why I made those sandwiches for you every night? He said, why? He said, I was so ugly to you. Said, I knew that the only time you might ever talk to me was when I was making those sandwiches. You see, God is trying to get your attention and my attention. What's He doing in your life? In the midst of your agenda, in the midst of you doing everything you want to do that really has no place for God in your life. Each and every day, there's probably some little voice that may be speaking from right here in your mind and your heart and your conscience. And it's God reminding you that He loves you. Maybe it's a person that crosses your path every day that's a reminder that you belong to God. Maybe it's the God who created all things, who cared enough to reach down to this earth. And to not become just an abstract concept, but to be the very God who is going to stay with us and never forsake us and always willing to speak the words of encouragement and love to us, knowing that there'll be a time when we have the opportunity to say yes to Him. For you see, it's not all you need is love. It's something like this. Oh, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Oh, how he loves. Oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Sing it with me. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Oh, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Father, we come to you this morning, thanking you for your love, turning aside from the notion that all we need is some concept, all we need is some attribute, all we need is some feeling, and knowing that you have reached down to us and shown us who you are by your loving actions. Father, our prayer today is that we would respond to your love by loving others, because you first loved us. It's in Christ's name we offer our prayer. Amen. Thank you. Let's just quit and go home. No, before we quit and go home, which is going to be a good thing to do, let's see if there's some choices that some of us might want to make. You tired of trying to earn God's love? You can't. It's unconditional. You tired of making poor choices, feeling bad about it? That's probably God's way of saying, I love you and I'm not going to leave you alone. Are you ready to drop the pretense and just admit that you can't live the life that God wants you to live on your own? And that's why he says, good, I'm glad you realize that. Now, invite me in. How do you do that? Well, his greatest manifestation of love is in that verse we just read, after God is love. For God is love. And what did he do? God manifested his love toward us in that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, into the world that we might live. Jesus, the Son of God, who died upon a cross. At your invitation, he will come in and his Spirit will live with you and he will fill you with his love. So I invite you to make that choice. There'll be ministers and deacons standing here because we close this service like we do every week. We close with a song where we respond and make choices. And some of those choices need to be public choices. So I invite you, if Jesus Christ living in your heart is what you desire, you can have it. His presence is available to you right now. Maybe God would lead you to follow through with some step of obedience. Maybe you need a place to belong. Maybe back to church reminds you that you need to be back here each and every week. You need the church. You need God's people. And so we offer who we are. A perfect church? No. But a church seeking to please Christ, his followers, and reach out to his world? Yes. That's what you'll find here. So with joining and becoming an official part of our church is what God wants you to do. Then come down and let one of these ministers know. They'll help you. Maybe you just need someone to pray with you. Maybe it's coming back here today just reminded you of the fact that you've been chasing this whatever it is. But now you know God is love. Maybe you need some help. Maybe you just need someone to pray for you, not judge you, not counsel you. There'll be people standing here, and all they want to do is just say, let me pray for you. That's our invitation. We stand together, we sing, we invite you to respond to God as He leads you right now.